Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judges, chapter 1. We're going to begin a new series today. Anybody want to guess what it's about? No? And both Samson's in it eventually. It's about the book of Judges. There you go. We're going to study in the book of Judges. So, why not start at the beginning, right? No, it's I've been praying about this for a few weeks now, and I just, Lord couldn't get this off my mind, and so this is what we're going to do. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the whole first chapter here of Judges chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and had taken it, and had smitten with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before it was Kirjathrabah. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before it was Kirjathsepher. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjathsepher and taketh it, to him will I give Achsa, my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites and inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it, and the name of the city was called Hormah. And also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city before it was Luz. And the spy saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go of the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, which and called the name therefore Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alhab, nor of Aksib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, but they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Anath. But he that dwelt among the Canaanites, inhabitants of the land, nevertheless inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heraz, in Ahijalon, and in Shaalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. May we learn much from it today. And Lord, may we apply the messages of your word to our lives. And I ask that if anyone is lost today, that they might feel the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, and they might accept your Son into their heart today. And I also pray, Lord, for those who are here, who have so many things going on in their life, Lord, that you'd help them to sort those things out, and they might live their lives according to your word and your will. Help me to preach you've laid in my heart again. These things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the sermon today is The Times of the Judges. The Times of the Judges. And today's sermon is entitled Possession of Land. Possession of the Land. That's all of Judges chapter 1. Today we will begin our study of the book of Judges and the many stories and characters within it. It's just chock full of history, chock full of different characters and different stories that affected God's people. Now, this was a lengthy reading today, but it was necessary to set the premise for the rest of the book. This book is filled with victory, defeat, joy, and sadness. There is so much to learn through the study of the book of Judges, so please be patient and attentive to each sermon. This first chapter that we're going to cover today contains a brief recapitulation of the conquering of the land, which is found primarily in the book of Joshua, which is the book before Judges. My first point this morning is Judah and Simeon. Judah and Simeon. If you cannot read that this morning, I apologize. I played around with all kind of colors of fonts, and that's about the best one I could find. I might change the background, but that's Judah, J-U-D-A-H, and Simeon, S-I-M-E-O-N, for those of you who are taking notes today. You'll find that in verses 1 through 12 of this point this morning. Excuse me. This morning, we must first understand that the 12 tribes of Israel were named after the sons of Israel, who was also called Jacob. One of those tribes was named Judah, and Judah was actually the greater of the tribes, even though he was not the eldest. The oldest was Reuben. If you want to know an extensive study about the sons of Jacob, who was later renamed to Israel, and how his sons would be called the different names of the tribes of Israel, you can do that study on your own, but just understand that Judah and Simeon, who we're going to concentrate on this first part. But Judah was the greater of the tribes. This would be the tribe that possessed a great portion of the southern part of the land. In the future, it would rename what God's people would be called. At this point, they are called Israelites, named after Israel. But there comes a point in time in their history where they divide off into two separate nations. You have Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Well, God did away with Israel and left with Judah. And so God's people were then called Jews, named after Judah. And they're still called that even today. It is also the tribe from which Jesus would come. How about that? Judah and Simeon here, these two tribes, they went ahead of the other tribes and helped clear the land for the other tribes to clean house. It is important that we understand that God commanded them to clean house. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, it says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord spake unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." God promised them while they were getting ready to go back, because remember, they had been in slavery in Egypt for a very, very long time, and in the process, all the Canaanite peoples had possessed the land that God promised would be theirs. And so when they are being delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh into Egypt, out of Egypt and into the promised land, the land of Canaan, what they would later call Israel, God said, "I'm going to do away with the people that inhabit the land, not for my sake, but because they are a wicked people and they are going to be punished. Because they do wickedness before my eyes. I'm not doing this for your sakes. I'm doing it to punish these people." And so God said, "I'm going to go in and I'm going to help you either wipe them out or drive them out, one or the other. Because I'm going to keep my word that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, your forefathers, that you will inherit this land." So here now, in Judges chapter 1, we see where Judah and Simeon are leading the way, keeping God's word, at the first here anyway, is what he commanded them to do. The Canaanites here were all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. One will see where other groups are mentioned here, but they were also still Canaanites. To understand this better, think of it this way. Here today, we are all Americans, but we were also Arkansans as well, Eldoradians, and so on and so forth, etc., etc. And we can go down the groups from there. But we're all Americans. All these people that inhabit the land were all Canaanites, but all the different groups were called something else because of the city-states or whoever ruled them and so on and so forth. They were all Canaanites. During the first part of the conquest of the land of Canaan, the defeat, that's the children of Israel, Judah and Simeon specifically, they defeated a ruler named Adonibezek. You said, that's a mouthful, Brother Daniel. Adonibezek, well, his name literally means the Lord of Bezek, or Bezek, which actually makes sense, because Adonai means Lord, and of course Bezek was the city, and hence the reason they originally found him where? In Bezek. When he was finally caught by Judah and Simeon, they cut off both of his thumbs and both of his big toes. Now, this may seem like a very cruel and a very odd practice, but understand why they did this. Number one, this was done so it would humiliate him, make him unable to ever wield a sword again, never able to shoot a bow, an arrow. He would never be able to throw a spear. He would never be able to walk well or even run as a warrior ever again, which would make him unfit to lead his people as a warrior king. But also, it was the Lord punishing him for doing the same thing to 70 other kings that he had conquered. He knew he had done wrong because in verse 7, he said this, 70 kings, that's 70 by the way, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table as I have done, so God hath requited me. He did this for the same reason that it makes sense to the Israelites, they did to him, so that these other kings wouldn't be able to be kings anymore. They would have to be dependent upon others. They wouldn't be able to be warriors anymore. And then when he said, and they gathered under my table to eat their meat, they had to eat the scraps from off the floor under his table so they could eat. He said, and God hath requited me. In other words, God has paid me back for the evil I have done. And this harmonizes with what God has already taught his people here in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25. It declares unto us, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So he knew God was paying him back for the evil he had done. Now, some may wonder, if you know a little more about the Old Testament, the significance between this event and when God ordained Aaron and his sons to be priests. Please turn to Exodus chapter 29 and verse 20. When God was ordaining all the different things of the tabernacle, so that he could be worshipped by his people there in the wilderness before they even before they ever went into the land of Canaan. God had Aaron, Moses' brother, and Aaron and his sons ordained to be priests. And this is what happened when they were ordained to be priests. It says here in Exodus 29 and verse 20, then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Here, the significance with Aaron and the sons being ordained to be priests shows that these men were being shown to use their ears, their hands, and their feet to be used of the service of the Lord. It had been really hard for them to do their job if their thumbs weren't there or their big toes weren't there, right? They might have been able to hear without the earlobe, but still, it had been hard to do that. All of this was done so that they showed, look, you're being ordained by God to be used of Him so you can listen to God's Word, so you can Use your hands to serve God and use your feet to serve God. When Adonai Bezek had his thumbs and big toes cut off, he would be limited on what he could do. And his services were now cut off because he refused to be used by the Lord and live by his word and his will. In fact, he lived very wickedly. But now he could still listen. He may not be able to use like he used to could, but he could still listen. Understand this. God has given us 2 feet, 2 legs, 2 hands, 2 arms, 2 ears, 2 eyes, and 1 mouth. May we be busy about the Lord's work. Be careful what we say and not take for granted what we have. Now, going on. Caleb, here in this first little bit, was mentioned because he was promised by God to inherit the land. Now, why is that even important? Well, he and Joshua were part of the original 12 spies sent out into the land to see what was there. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that before they went in, they wanted to see what it was like. They'd never been there. They'd been in slavery all their lives. So they took a man from each tribe. Caleb was from Judah. Joshua was from, I can't remember. Anyway, he wasn't from Judah. Anywho, but he, Caleb and the other spies, they went in the land. They all came back. But Caleb, old brother Caleb, I like him. He was the first one to speak positively about the land. And he and Joshua were the only two that tried to persuade the people to trust God and take it because he was on their side. The other 10 spies says, we cannot possess the land. We shouldn't dare go into it. Oh yes, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, I didn't know what that really meant until I went over there. When I was a kid, I just thought that, man, there was rivers of milk and rivers of honey all over the place. That'd have been anything, but that's not what it means. It means it's a good land that's good for cattle and good for goats and good for sheep that produce what? Milk. Yeah. And then it's a land flowing with honey. You think, well, there are bees everywhere? Well, yes, there's bees there. And you can grow anything in the world you want to there. But I did not know this. Now, they tell me this. They could have lied to me. I don't know. There's date trees there, and they grow in abundance, and they're good. But apparently, you can make honey from dates. I did not know that. But anywho, that was the significance behind them. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they brought back that huge, huge cluster of grapes, so big that, remember, they had to put a pole, and 2 men had to carry it in to show them. It's a great land, but there's giants in the land. There's all kind of wicked people that possess it. We'll not be able to do it. And Caleb and Joshua was like, no, no, guys, don't listen to them. God is on our side. He said he's with us. He told us it's ours. He said he'll help us take it. Let's go get it, boys. What the rest of the people wanted to do? They tried to kill Caleb and Joshua that day. And God at that moment spoke to Moses and said, I'm ready to kill them all. And Moses said, but God, if you do that, what will the Egyptians say? And he said, okay. God made the Israelites wander as punishment for 40 years. For that generation to die off. Except for Joshua and Caleb. That generation of people that refused to go in the land, God says, all right, You don't want to go in? Fine. You will not go in. For 40 years you're wandering, and when you die, then your children can go in. Yeah. You got what you wanted. But Joshua and Caleb were promised to see it. But Caleb, and this is interesting, Caleb was the only one to receive a promise from God that he and his children would inherit a special portion of a land. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 31. God said, I didn't put that in right, I guess. Because that's not what I have. Hang on just a minute. Pause for technical errors here. How about verse 24? Numbers 14 and verse 24. I apologize for that error. Numbers 14 and verse 24. And it says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So God promised Caleb through Moses, before they ever did the 40 years of wandering, that he would receive a special portion of the land and he would live to see it. Now turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 13. It's interesting to note here that Caleb was actually 85 years old when he went and fought to possess his portion. Joshua 14, begin reading verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore get me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for inheritance. I like old brother Caleb. 85 years old, he was still a spitfire now. He's like, I am just as able to wield a weapon of war as I was 45 years ago. That's my land that God promised to me for being obedient to Him. He's with me now. I'll take that mountain. I'll take those people. And it'll be mine because God promised it to me. If I live to be 85 years old, I hope I have the strength and the faith of Caleb. Man, you wouldn't mess with Caleb now. And you know what happened? Caleb took it. He did. He took it. My last point this morning. the rest of the tribes. Verse 21 through 36. The rest of the tribes. The whole purpose of Judah and Simeon going ahead was to help make way for the rest of the tribes to do their part and clean out their own portions. That makes sense. Because remember, after Joshua died, the children of Israel were like, well, who's going to lead us to help get rid of the lands? And God said, you got Judah. He'll take care of you. Judah said, I want Simeon to help me out. All right. So these two tribes, they go in and they are preparing the way for the rest of the tribes to do their own cleaning outs. I mean, they're killing them left and right, y'all. Well, when the rest of the tribes start coming in their portion of the land, it was their job to finish up what Judah and Simeon weren't able to do. But the rest of this chapter explains that the rest of the tribes didn't do as God commanded them. And this begins some very sad things, y'all. Some didn't drive out all their inhabitants. Some just lived among them. Some made the inhabitants slaves. Others were given problems by their inhabitants from the start. Now, this may sound cruel. This may sound so cruel to so many people. But the opinion of this pastor, if the Israelites had done their job in the beginning as God commanded them to do, the world wouldn't be having the problems with the Middle East like they are now. I know. The world would say, oh, you cruel man, you. Look, God said for them to go in, drive them out, or kill them because of their wickedness. And what's going to happen as we begin to study the rest of the book of Judges is that the ones they left are going to really, really, really begin to give them problems. What is the application of all of this morning? First of all, understand this. God has not commanded us to wipe out evil people among us. All right? Hope you understand that. There was a time that God commanded His people to do that, but that's not there anymore. In fact, He's commanded us, His church, to win them to Christ, which in the way, it defeats the evil in their lives. We are to love the sinner and hate the sin. But understand this too. That does not mean you have to get so close to them that shows that you approve of their sin, as well as allow their sin to influence you. There's a way to win alcoholics to the Lord without going into the bars to win them. Are you with me? There's a way to influence drug addicts without actually taking drugs with them. All right? We need to love sinners. God loves sinners so much that Jesus died for them, because that's you and me, by the way. We're sinners too. But God does not approve of sin, and we should not either. There's a thin line there that we must be very, very careful to observe. But the most important thing that we need to understand from all of this reading, all the study this morning about the children of Israel, is to completely and wholeheartedly follow and obey God. Do you think that the Israelites had any inkling at all that the actions they did in those days would affect their future? No. But oh, buddy, did it. When we begin to read here in the rest of Judges. And I'll go ahead and give you a little foresight in case you don't know the book already. I've already told you, this book is full of victory and defeat, joy and sadness. You see, those sinful and wicked people that they didn't completely drive out or destroy are beginning to influence them. You see, what happens when you begin to hang around sinful people and you don't admonish Christ and try to win them to the Lord, they're going to influence you. That's what happens, especially if you're not strong in your faith. They begin to influence you. And guess what happens? They begin to worship the same things those wicked people do, false gods. And guess what happens? They begin to give them problems. And so God in His mercy is going to send in the several men called judges to help win the people back to the Lord and fight for them. The problem is that we're stubborn. We're stubborn. We're hard-headed. We don't easily learn lessons. Well, guess what? The Israelites were no different. They're still people as it were then as we are now. Oh, yeah, they'd come back to God and then they got a little comfortable with sin again, just a little comfortable, and it all happened all over again. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Y'all, learn from the mistakes of your ancestors. Please. Who in this world loves pain? I can't stand it. I'm quite allergic to it, to be honest with you. Who enjoys misery? No one does. You want peace and happiness? There's a psalm that we've even taught Holden, and what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But what the world really needs is peace. And the only way to get peace is through Jesus and allowing Him to have influence in your life, and you completely and wholeheartedly follow Him. That's how you get peace. Oh yeah, you need love. But what's love without peace? You can't have peace unless you don't have Jesus. You don't have Jesus, you won't have love, and you won't have peace. So this morning, wholeheartedly and completely follow God. If He's not even a part of your life today, make that step to follow Him. No matter your age this morning. And if you are following Him, but you're kind of like the Israelites, you're just half-heartedly serving Him. God doesn't want that. He wants all of you, every bit of you, to serve Him. And oh, what great peace that brings in the service of the Lord. And that harmonizes with the New Testament teaches us that it brings about the peace that passeth all understanding. I won't go into the details of a testimony I heard this week from a great respected friend of mine. If anybody in this world had reason to complain and cry and be sad all the time, he did. That's Daniel Clark's opinion, not the Lord's. But he told me, he said, "You know what, Daniel?" He said, I cannot allow Satan to keep away the joy and peace from my life. I can't. Because what this world needs is peace. And I've got peace. And I've got to let God give me peace so I can live for Him." He said, so those things where I could, if I wanted to concentrate heavily on, it robs me of my peace. He said, but I've got to give it to God so I can have peace. And I was thinking, man, whew. I was hoping to encourage him, and he didn't. And I didn't. He did the vice versa. He encouraged me. And I wasn't even down on the block, you know. That's because he had been through that fire. And he knew. He prayed about it and he knew what he needed to do. So here today, friend, brother and sister in Christ, whatever is in your life that may be keeping you from having peace of the Lord, give it over to the Lord. Let him take care of it. Don't dwell on it so you can live in the peace and happiness of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful day you've given us. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the things I do in my life that I could do better. And I pray for everyone here today that they would truly know peace that comes from you. But Lord, the only way they're going to do it is by completely and wholeheartedly follow you and trust you to take care of them. You promised your people long ago, the Israelites, that they would simply follow you and do whatever you say. You'd bless them. And Lord, we see in your word where when they didn't completely follow you, they became miserable. And I pray, Lord, we would learn from their mistakes. And that we would be an example to others. Bless this time of invitation. These things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand?